It has been almost 30 years, is that right, that the Flanders Quartet has been working together? And you're coming to an end this year. How does that feel?
Well, indeed. So 30 years ago, we started the quartet, and we are still with three founding members. One member changed a few times. And we have what we call our last chapter. It will be a very long last chapter. We did it already a few months. And our very last concert will be on the 22nd of December in our country, in Belgium. And it's a last final chapter because we are very grateful to a lot of organizations where we played a lot, like here in the United States. A lot of organizations, as like here in Boston, for example, we played a few times. They became also friends. And that's also in the East, in Japan, and in South Korea and Taiwan. And that's the reason why we actually make a very long final chapter.
Tell me, Joris, what is your history with the group? Have you been with the group the entire time?
Yes. Almost as long as I can remember, you should say. It was always a dream as a recorder player to have a recorder concert, a pure recorder group. So that was the start. Paul and I, we studied together, and we really wanted to have something with a lot of quality. So we started with some other players. We worked very hard. At certain moments, we were practicing together every day. So we knew each other very well. It was a very fun time in which, let's say, we combined very hard work with a lot of fun.
Many groups begin playing in a recorder ensemble, but very few last as long as you have and with as high a quality as you have attained. Can you account for that in any way?
Well, I think that one of the most important things for a recorder quartet is having very good instruments. And there are so many different types. I counted them once, and I think that maybe there are 27 different types of recorders. Then I'm talking about Renaissance recorders, modern recorders, medieval ones, and then soprano, alt, tenor, bass. But also between those instruments, you have different types. And actually, we all use them. And everybody can play on all those types. So we have more than 150 recorders, and we try to have the best, because it's a little bit like all, like a violin, whatever. A plastic recorder play is also very nice, but a wooden is better, and then made by a very good maker still makes the difference. So it was actually in the first years we played on the what we had as personal instruments, and then we started to invest in instruments or consort, for example, what you will hear this night.
A consort is a group of instruments made specially to play together, is that right?
Yes. So very special is, for example, a Renaissance consort of 10 instruments. They belong together, and you have a very nice example of that in the Music Instrument Museum in Vienna. And it's a Renaissance consort that was used by the brothers Bassano, who played every day for King Henry VIII as music for dinner or just to please him. So he was, when he died, he left more than 110 recorders. And we know that he was a real music lover. And that's the reason why he invited from Italy the brothers Bassano, who made music for him on those recorders. So those recorders are in Vienna, and we play on copies.
In the case of wind instruments, it's not like a violin where you can play on the original instrument many years later.
That is a pity, because the original instruments, if you play an old violin, a Stradivarius, it gets better. And a wind instrument gets really bad. So we played some of the originals in Musea. it's interesting for us to hear something of the sound is still left, and you can have the feel of it, but these are not instruments you can play on a concert. It would be also not, it would damage the instruments also, because you're putting a lot of moisture in it by playing on them. So, but a lot of very good makers go to these museums and make copies of these instruments. And actually, some of our finest recorders are made in the US by Tom Prescott and also by Friedrich von Huene. They made beautiful recorders for us.
Yes, Friedrich von Huene of the early music shop here in Boston. And I was touched at his memorial service when the group of you came and performed. It was that significant an influence in your career, I guess. Is that right?
Yes, it is. Also, Friedrich von Huene, he is a very important man in our recorder life. While actually the instruments we're playing on are very special. There is a double bass that it's in Baroque pitch, and it didn't exist in the past. So he invented it a little bit. It's an idea of the Renaissance, and there only existed three of them in the whole world. And that instrument is so fantastic. All is also his bass in C bass. And other basses are very special and wonderful. And Friedrich, yeah, it's a kind of magic work what he did with those instruments.
Yeah, he was a real artist.
And it's a prominent shop over there on Route 9 in Boston, and many people drive by it but don't know the significance of it in the world of music.
Yeah, it's very nice if you drive by. You see that C bass is hanging outside of his shop. So people maybe think, well, what is that? An instrument or not. It's because that instrument is a little bit bassoon-like. We use also tubes to blow through. But of course, playing bassoon, you need a reed, and the recorder is still more pure.
You could say that makers like Tom Prescott and Friedrich, they gave us a voice to sing. It's a beautiful sound we have. And I actually remember when picking up this real contrabass instrument that Friedrich made especially for us, that his wife Inge was so happy, because it takes two to put this together. She always had to assist, so it was, oh, I'm so glad this instrument goes to you now. I remember that, but it's beautiful.
So tell me about this program that we have this evening. This is music from the Renaissance with voice and recorders, and it's kind of a celebration of that entire repertoire, isn't it?
Yes, so we are very glad we will use the Renaissance instruments. There is also one modern piece by a good friend of us from Flanders, Pieter Campo. But it's written for, it's modern music written for Renaissance instruments. Then we will perform concert songs, and that's something very special in history. So it was actually a very small period in the 16th century that there was a concert of viol players or recorder players and one voice. Probably it was a boy's voice. It's a very short period in history. There are also not so much concert songs written. And with Cecile, we liked, especially for the Boston Festival, to perform a few of those songs.
What years do you, I don't want to put you on the spot, but around the range?
Everything is around 1600, you could say. Most of the repertoire, that's really the moment that... Some pieces are a little bit earlier, like Tom Paul said, from Henry VIII. That time, but most of it centers around 1600.
Time of Shakespeare.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Dowland is in here, and someone named Ashton, is that right? Yes. So Dowland being one of the most significant songwriters of that time, right?
Yeah, well, Dowland, I think it's very normal in this program, because as recorder player, everybody knows the lacrimes, the tears from Dowland. And sempre dolens. If you hear dolens, you hear
sorrow.
And there is then also a title, Sorrow Come. So it's always a little bit about sadness, but sadness is so beautiful in music. And, you know, it's like the Requiem of Mozart, for example, there are pearls in music, often written in a minor key. And so Dowland in this program, yeah, that's perfect for that matched, really.
Actually, a lot of his songs are also, you could say, translated or made into instrumental compositions by Dowland himself or other composers. So today we made a combination of this instrumental, and also we add the voice of Cécile, which becomes part of the concert.
Do you spend time researching who these anonymous composers might have been, or is that something you think about? They lived in a certain town in a certain place and worked for a certain.
Well, the fact that they are anonymous makes it very difficult. We didn't find the anonymous who the composers were. We couldn't find it. So we would love to know, and we read, of course, the magazines. We are in libraries, but we combine also with the musicianship, the playing together.
The Flanders Quartet has had a relationship with the Boston Early Music Festival for many, many years, I think. In fact, WGBH has recordings from way back in many years ago. Can you tell me about that relationship and how it has grown and developed?
That's a difficult question. So everything starts, of course, well, we are from Europe, from Belgium, from Flanders, and I remember that 24 years ago we had our first tour in the United States, and we have had always a very good management, Valerie Bernstein, Sempre Musica, and she brought us here. And then the first time we were invited, the second time, and
they gave us a lot of opportunities. Boston, they believed in us, the early music, and the nice thing was also that at certain moment they started an early music series in New York also, and they gave us also this opportunity to play in a very beautiful hall in the Morgan Library. And then I remember that in the New York Times you could read, this is so strange, why is it that people from Boston have to found an early music series here? And they were talking about the early music scene, that there were no real good concert series anymore in New York. So, but yeah, we were very, very grateful that we had opportunities to play here. Yeah?
And how does it feel if this is your last, so many final things going along?
Yesterday somebody called it bittersweet, and maybe that's a beautiful word, because it's sweet that we play together, that we can still give nice concerts, we say it ourselves. But the feeling for us is making this final tour. We still have a lot of concerts to do, but every concert in every city, we meet people that really come to us after the concert, people from the audience, other players, people we have know. We had the opportunity to learn to know them through our concerts, and they are very grateful to us and say, oh, I'm so happy I can hear you for the last time. And it's the reactions we get also by mails, and the fact that it's our final tour, they are really overwhelming, and it gives a very warm feeling inside. We're really grateful to the audience.
And what do you say when people say, why are you breaking up?
Yeah, it's a difficult question. It's you have two possibilities, or you don't do that, or you do it. Yeah. And we decided just to make a very nice ending, so not abrupt on one concert, but longer, as I told already. And then maybe we can do something else. Everybody has other dreams. We can stay and playing concerts for the next 10 years or 20 years. That's also possible. But we decided just to make a nice ending, a little bit like I like to cycle. Yeah, it's a little bit like an coureur on his top, or a sportman, you know, and yeah.
It's a good ending, a good finish.
It's a lot of, one of the things, it's a lot of work also. So the quartet is very time consuming. So as Paul said, we all have different things we would like to do in different projects, different time for ourselves. So that balance is very important. And also the work is not only a musical work. So there's a lot of making your programs, selling them, making new prospects, talking with the CD company, making recordings, listening to the recordings, making travel arrangements, new travel arrangement, taxes. It's a lot of administration also. So that takes so many time that we could say, okay, we don't want to do all this work over and over. And then the quartet would go from 100 concerts to 80 and then to 60. And after six or seven years, people would say, do they still exist or not? And we didn't want this kind of ending. That's why we said, okay, let's put a date on it and make this final tour to a big fest, we would say. Yeah,
yes.
A big party, yeah.
That's right. Yeah, it's the Flanders Fest.
Yeah, the Flanders Fest.
Recorder Quest Fest, yes. Well, that's wonderful. And you each have teaching careers as well, some in devoted to education in various ways.
Yeah. There's, I think all of us have, like all recorder players, have teaching careers also. And we teach from zero to hero, you could say. Some have beginners, some have the professionals. That's a big combination. And that's, I think, when playing the recorder, it's always, you don't play in an orchestra. If you have an orchestral job, you can combine it. And also the, what shall I say, if you are a top-class string quartet, they always fetch a little bit the higher prices. So then maybe you could live on it. And even then, these people also, they teach. So, but we love to teach. So, and also after the concerts, a lot of people come to us. I started recorder because you taught me once or because I heard your CD. So again, that's nice to hear always.
Well, Paul and Joris, thank you so much for your time today and for this concert. We're so grateful we're going to be able to hear it.
Okay, looking forward. Yeah.